So God's just told Jeremiah that he's been appointed to be the prophet to the nations. And my absolute favorite response is in Jeremiah verse 6. Then I, Jeremiah, said, Lord God. That was it, the part. That's my favorite part. I wondered if they translated the Hebrew wrong. So I ended up doing some investigation, and guess what? The pause, the is there in the Hebrew text. It's actually very similar to what the pause sounds like in English. Back then, instead of saying, they must have said, God's just told Jeremiah that he's to be this prophet to the nations, and Jeremiah doesn't even know what to say. So he pauses and hesitates. Jeremiah, possibly one of the greatest and well-known prophets in our history, pauses when God approaches him. And the reason the pause matters to me and you so much is that it tells me that he's just a regular guy, just like you and me. This shows us he's human, along with the rest of what he says in that verse. He not only pauses, but then he gives this great excuse of why he can't actually do it. Jeremiah tells God, I don't know how to speak. And if you haven't noticed, I'm too young. I possibly can't do it because I'm too young. That's it, God. Awkward pause, followed by this great excuse, certainly makes Jeremiah relatable to everyone here in this room. How many times have we been asked to do something for the church, or maybe you felt a push from something bigger, from the Holy Spirit, or a call from God to do something that's outside your comfort zone? And if we're anything like Jeremiah, you hesitate and you give this appropriate excuse, which is completely natural. It's our human response, certainly. I'd imagine the excuse you gave could have dealt with your age. Maybe you're too young, or maybe you've retired and you just want a break. Maybe you're thinking it's someone else's turn. Or maybe instead we go internal and we convince ourselves that we just can't possibly do it. Maybe we're not smart enough. Or we realize we don't have enough time. We're too busy. Maybe we don't like to speak in crowds, don't have the skills required to do such a task, or maybe the reality is we have a disability or an ailment. Maybe we have depression or anxiety or dyslexia, so we just feel like we can't do it. Over centuries, God has heard excuse after excuse. It doesn't seem to keep God from calling people to do God's work, though. Sarah laughs when she hears God will give her a child in her old age. She just can't believe that it's physically possible. Or Moses, who after running from God for 40 years is caught off guard by a burning bush, where Moses is quick to tell God what he lacks. Not a good speaker. Nobody will listen to me, God. And God later calls Gideon. If you remember, Gideon is from the weakest clan and the youngest in his family. Clearly, God's made a mistake in calling Gideon to be a military leader. David, the young shepherd boy, and the youngest of all his brothers, does God expect him to be the king of Israel? When God calls Jonah, he flees because he does not want to have God extend mercy. It takes a storm and being swallowed by a big fish in order to convince him to go to Nineveh. Jesus calls these lowly fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, an unlikely group of 12 to share the incarnational love and grace of God. Time and time again in Scripture and beyond, we discover one thing. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. I want you to hear that again. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. I've learned over the years that God has a good sense of humor. If someone utters the words, "I will never do this or that," God's simple reply is, "Challenge accepted." It's certainly what happened with Jeremiah. Jeremiah hesitated and gave this great excuse, yet the beauty of calling someone who's unfit for the job, who does not have the ability or the acumen for such a task, actually plays to God's advantage. Instead of Jeremiah being able to take credit for what he does or says, like sharing this hard message to the Israelites of plucking up and pulling down, destroying and overthrowing, which is what happens to the Israelites in exile. And then he shares God's message of hope, building and planting where they are. The creator of the universe, the one who knew Jeremiah before he was born, God receives the glory when the impossible happens through the unlikely. That's why God doesn't call the equipped, but rather equips the called so that God's glory is recognized. Maybe you're like Moses, or maybe you're feeling like Jeremiah and you're fleeing because God's call is to do the impossible. I've heard stories of God calling regular, everyday people to do amazing things. But God's call isn't just for those pie-in-the-sky, impossible things. God also calls his people to do normal, everyday things. Things that don't seem that important but add up to make a difference. And somehow we find ourselves making excuses for those things as well. After all, many of the things Jesus asks his followers to do are things that you and I could do this week. Loving our neighbor, even if we disagree with them. God doesn't call us to agree with everyone, but God does call us to love them. Or feed the hungry and clothe the naked, to seek the prisoner. To bring the kingdom of God and the world through small acts of love and grace. And yet somehow we pause or give excuses for those. Not just for the big radical things God sometimes asks us to do, but even for those small everyday things that God wants us to do. We say, "Not me. No way. I can't do that." But luckily for us, God doesn't call the equipped. God is very patient, and God equips the called. Bob Whittisall, a consultant for church growth, he suggested that a men's group fulfill a need for someone outside their church. They were too insular, and they needed to leave the church building and do something for somebody else. No strings attached, he says. Just go and help someone for no other reason than they're a child of God. The truth was, there was this run-down house down the street from the church, and everyone was noticing it. It was the kind of house that you couldn't miss, and it just seemed to get worse and worse each year. And one day, the men's group arrived at this house with gallons of paint, brushes, all ready to fix the house. They hadn't announced their coming, and the owner comes rushing out shouting, "Don't tear my house down!" The men explained they were there from the neighborhood church, just wanting to help their neighbor and paint the house. The owner thanks them, but she tells them, "I can't pay for this. I can't afford it." The group leader says she didn't have to worry. They would do it for free. They just wanted to show love to a neighbor. And in that moment, tears started falling down from her eyes. This joy and hope. She was living on Social Security. She was struggling as a widow. She just couldn't afford, and she physically couldn't keep up the house. It just got too much for her. After this, the men's group started doing a project like this once a month. Now, they did check with the person first after doing it this time again. But they wanted to find ways to make a difference in people's lives. It was contagious, not anything too spectacular, but it turned out they loved showing God's love to other people. Certainly, God calls us sometimes to do the impossible, just like Jeremiah. But God also calls us to everyday acts of love to others. Sometimes it's loving our neighbor. Sometimes it's loving our enemy. Whatever it is, our challenge today is to put the hesitation, the pause, those excuses aside, and let God do the impossible through each one of us. God has called you not to the ordinary, and God will equip each one of you. Amen and amen.